I'm going to sort of give it to you straight, and I think we should. I think that about 25 years of extremely restrictive firearm legislation has kind of proven that it does not work, for the very simple reason that the very people who we are worried about having firearms, that's violent criminals, have had absolutely no problem in procuring guns and as much as they need. I think the global small arms survey pegged that the total number of illicit firearms in circulation in South Africa by 2016 was already estimated about 2.5 million, which is nearly the same size as those in licensed hands. And that pool hasn't grown smaller. I think it's a great time now to have a conversation, a discussion about how do we change things that this actually starts working for people. The big problem with the Firearms Control Act of 2000, as I understand it, is even in the preamble, it says that the purpose of the act is really to discourage civilian firearm ownership as much as possible without there being an outright ban. And part of that process is to make it extremely invasive and difficult and expensive, not just in terms of money, but in terms of time, the amount of time it takes for someone to go through a license application, especially if they have a legitimate reason, as you should have, to own a gun. It's a 6 to 8 and sometimes 12-month process with an extreme amount of paperwork. It's very inefficient. It's very untransparent, which is why we see the corruption within the system we do. Versus if you think about any licensing regime, whether it's motor vehicle, driver's licensing, or firearms, really the things we should be worried about is firstly that the person who is granted the license is a fit and proper person and competent to own and handle a firearm. And secondly, that they're not an undesirable person like a criminal or a convict or someone else like that. And there are many ways of doing that, but you might actually have a few more questions for me, so I'll just shut up for a second.
I think, look, there's a couple of things. One, the issue of the process that people undergo, of course, to get that firearm, that legal firearm license. And I'm wondering what you make of that process. One, of course, we know that it's inefficient, but two, do you think it's effective?
I don't think it's effective at all, because I think what happens, because of the very nature of what that process is, it's almost entirely manual paperwork, huge amount of duplication, it's an extreme workload. That's very negative for the people who are trying legitimately to get a firearm license. That level of inefficiency has been very effectively exploited by those that have fraudulently obtained actual real firearm licenses. And it is a problem that's a bit underreported in the media, but every now and again it rears its head and you get a glimpse of the size of that iceberg of how much fraud and corruption is actually in that system because of the nature of it, what it is. There are many ways, but there's one particular great way of getting around all of that. And it's a complete overhaul of that system into a licensing regime where you, as the individual person, private person, is the license holder. You don't hold individual licenses for each and every single firearm you own, which then quadruples or in some cases increases your paperwork the paperwork burden by about 10%. I mean, not 10%, 10 times. Moving away from that into something that's more rational will already make life easier for everybody, including the police and those charged with actually enforcing the provisions of the law and the act.
Yeah, I want to get to your take then on the current proposal in Parliament, the Firearm Controls Amendment Bill, that would essentially, if passed, would eliminate self-defense as a valid reason for legal firearm ownership. What do you make of the Amendment Bill currently in Parliament?
So the bill is under discussion. I think I'm not exactly sure where it is. It hasn't reached the portfolio committee yet, as far as I'm aware, and we haven't seen it. But if it's the same one as they put out for public comment in 2021, which was overwhelmingly rejected by the public at the time, which is the reason it was taken off the table. A lot of the provisions in there are completely senseless. Banning self-defense is a reason to own a firearm in South Africa. I think recent events speaks for themselves as to why that's mad and entirely irrational. The second one is the very arbitrary limitations on what people are allowed to own and how much of it they're allowed to own. The reality there is also, if you are someone that has a dedicated sport, a dedicated hunting status through an accredited association. You've worked hard and proven your track record regarding that you are a responsible farm owner and that you have a legitimate need for more guns than certain types, even restricted types. Arbitrarily removing your ability to own those things because of an unquantified reasoning from someone who drafted it is definitely a step in the wrong direction. And as we can see, it's not going to do anything to people who live in all the various extortion mafias in Mfuleni who can get their hands on fully automatic AKs by the sounds of it as if it's nothing.
Yeah. The conversation then around self-defense as it is in South Africa, yes, we've seen instances where I guess legal gun owners have had their firearms used against them. But in many instances, legal firearm ownership has saved lives of those legal gun owners and their families. Do you think that we're having, from your perspective, as the South African Gun Owners Association, do you think we're having the conversation, we're framing the conversation correctly, firstly?
Yeah, I think we are having the conversation, the one we're having right now, for sure. Nationally, I think the citizenry has a specific conversation we want to have, and some elements of government have a very separate conversation where they want to have. They want to discuss how to make things harder and go into a very prohibitive civilian farm ownership environment, which I'll actually just turn, we'll call it a civilian disarmament agenda, because that's actually what it is, versus from the side of the actual citizen, we're increasingly saying we have a huge problem of crime everywhere, especially in poorer communities. We have a failing state that's creating a security vacuum by the dysfunction of not just the criminal justice system, but specifically police, and even their specifically visible policing, which is leaving all citizens massively vulnerable to criminals who just act with impunity. And if the state isn't going to fulfill their constitutional mandate, why on earth does it want to disarm me of my ability to actually protect myself and my family? That is the key, the crux of the matter for me there.
Yeah. I'm wondering then also what you make of the debate around guns should just be banned across the board, and us getting to a point where we disarm everyone, legal, illegal, even going as far as the police, and some saying, you know what, only the army or the military should have firearms. What do you make of that debate? And because the immediate question I had was, where do we start?
Well, that is, your question is 100% correct, because that's the first thing I'll say. Like, okay, let's say we have that situation right now. How? How do we do it? How do we take 2.5 to 3 million illicit firearms at minimum, which we don't know where they are? We don't know how many are coming across our borders and arriving here in shipping containers on a daily or weekly basis. We don't know how many are being leaked to criminal gangs by corrupt officers within the police and security forces. And at the recovery rates that we presently have, even with crackdowns, I think someone worked out it will take 400 to 500 years for the police to recover all those guns. So half a millennium. How do we go into a gun-free society when it's absolutely, by the looks of it, it's a fantasy, but it's absolutely physically impossible to do? Which is why I also think that those discussions, and I understand why people have them, but it's an unproductive angle of attack onto the issue, because unfortunately for them, the guns aren't going away. You can 3D print them now. That's the other side of the coin that no one wants to talk about, is everything is in the public domain. The guerrilla forces in Burma/Myanmar are already doing that very effectively. Even if we ban all guns, the people who really want them will find a way to have them, and it just leaves the rest of society entirely defenseless against very violent people who now hold the monopoly on armed force.
Yeah. It's a fascinating conversation, a necessary one, considering that high violent crime rates continue to rise and unfortunately are not being addressed adequately by the South African police services. I mean, we even saw members of parliament being attacked as well. And so it's a conversation I think that we're going to have to continue having. And another thing that we're going to have to keep our eye on is, of course, that amendment bill in parliament as well.
Absolutely, no. We're from also keeping a very close eye on it, and we are in coordination with other farm-owning and representative organisations as well, so we have a nice strong front there when needed. But I appreciate the public support and for interest. Just what were the poll results? What did you get?
It was roughly 50-50. 47% said yes, they should be eased, and 52% said no. More guns equal more death, essentially. And so the results were quite mixed, which I in and of itself found quite fascinating. All things considered.
No, that is a fascinating result, and I hope that of the 52%, this conversation maybe could convince some to come across to the 48%.
Yeah.
But,
Well, Gideon Yuwe, the trustee of the South African Gun Owners Association, thank you so much for your time this morning.
It's a pleasure. Have a great morning.